Hello, welcome, 8123 podcast. We are back.
Welcome.
A new episode. It has been a minute. We are sorry, but it is for good reason.
It is.
We've been recording.
We recorded more.
Yeah. We just booked out some time to record. And we really weren't sure what was going to happen and what was going to come of it. And kind of one of those things, I don't know, generally we make records, it's so like, here's the month and we're doing it and we're just like focusing on this record, and there's a lot of pressure on that.
Yeah.
And we already did that.
Mm-hmm.
And our super happy with what happened there. And then so now it was like, well, we can't go on tour still, so let's just keep going.
Yeah.
So
it's very funny.
We got another one.
Yeah, and you know, whenever there's that no pressure thing, it ends up turning out pretty damn great.
Yes.
And I'm super excited with what we came up with this last week. Yeah, I don't know when it's coming out, but
yeah.
But we have more
and
music.
It's not done, but
it's not done.
Yeah. So yeah, we're pumped, and it'll be in your ears at some point, sometime. But yeah, that's kind of been. Kind of been what we've been doing. It's fun getting back in there, and we're in the process. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be moving into a brand new spot, which we will talk about that. I'm sure there'll be an episode on the new spot that we're going to be recording at. But
yeah,
what we just did might be the last thing we record at the old spot.
Yeah,
so,
which is crazy. I mean, what, it's been 2 years? 2.5 years?
Yeah.
And what's everything we've done there? We've did the first thing was the death cab cover or the acoustic?
The acoustic, yeah. Mm. Acoustic record. And then we did the death cab cover.
We wrote You're Okay.
Yeah. We've done other acoustic songs, and then album eight.
Album eight was done there, and then this song.
This, yeah. So
crazy.
Yeah.
That's a good amount of stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but it will be nice to start fresh, something new.
Yeah, and that'll probably make us just continue to do more. So who knows? By the time we can go back on tour, we're probably going to have like...
3 albums.
6 albums done. Yeah. So just wait.
I'm down. I'm down with it.
Yeah. Just keep it all going. So today on the show, we talk about a difficult decision we had deciding what record label to sign to.
Yes.
Back in 2008 for our first ever deal. So
a couple 17-year-olds choosing the path of their life.
Yeah.
Oh God, it's insane.
Yeah. Well, this episode, like all of the episodes, is brought to you by Pillar. If you do not know what Pillar is, get on it, man. Pillar is our reinvented version of a fan club. It's an app where you get access to exclusive podcasts like this, but other episodes you can't hear here, demos you've never heard, brand new songs that we record that we give just to the people on Pillar. You'll get free access to any of the concerts that we do via the internet, like the Flowers in the Grave show and much more. And yeah, and you subscribe to it at Pillar, PILLAR.club. And yeah, check that out if you haven't.
I mean, today we posted Feel It All Over from Soundcheck at the Flowers on the Grave show. John put up a video of him talking about him writing vocals. I posted a video of us listening through the first time on Black Butterflies, the demo with Colby, which is fun. Yeah, I mean, yeah, every day you're getting all sorts of stuff. So make sure you're checking it out. It's I enjoy being part of the community.
Yeah, yeah. Sweet, man. Well, we'll hop into this episode about deciding what record I'm assigned to. But first, a message from one of our official sponsors, you know, one that isn't owned by us. Well, this will go down as one of the hardest decisions we've ever had to make as a band. I feel like for the most part, the decisions we make, well, you know, while they're not always the safe decision, we're fairly like certain on them.
Yeah,
and we don't really ever have all that much like, you know, debate on things. We're like pretty like, oh, this is who we want to bring out on tour or you know, but deciding which record label to sign to was very hard.
Yes, and I mean
very complicated at the time.
And like you said, probably one of the most difficult decisions we've ever had to make. Mostly because it was the first time we had ever, as people, done that. And we were also very young.
Yeah. So, you know, to kind of set the tone a little bit, I think, you know, when you're in a band and, you know, you've been playing in bands like I guess since we were kids, the dream is always to sign to a record label, and you think that that's how you make it, you know. Mm-hmm. And so there's been this idea in our heads forever that's what we need to do. So as soon as the band began, we were getting some record labels were into the songs that we had out, and we had an A&R guy come to our first ever show. And so
I think we need to go back a little bit farther, because for all of us besides John had been in band since we were 12 or, you know, or 13. Yeah. And not in any of those bands had anyone even been close to interested into signing any of our bands, any of our other bands.
Yeah.
No one would, like, we were the perfect version of a local band, but probably wasn't going to get out of that situation. But then, yes, like you're saying, then as soon as we started the main, that 180'd, and there seemed to be a lot of people interested. So then you can keep going from there. But
yeah, and you know, we very quickly, you know, we had an A&R guy come out to our first ever show, and then I think the next show interest was Fearless Records, and they had us come out to California, and we went to their offices and met with them, and we did a showcase show. And then I guess I think there were probably some others that were interested at that point. And then I think we maybe even we had done like a small tour, like we went to like Utah and to Colorado and stuff with Brighton.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I guess that was our junior year of high school.
Yeah, and me and yours for sure.
Yeah, and after that, Johnny Minardi and the other people who's actually been on the podcast before, and the owner of Dubai Ramen, they were interested in Brighton, and then they saw that we were going on tour with them, and I think that kind of helped make our band more of a like legit band in other you know people's eyes. And then you know then all of a sudden Steel Bear Ramen was interested, and we went and
which we were definitely like kind of waiting for.
Yeah,
like
because
at the time they were the biggest deal. Like anything that was even kind of sounded like our music that was doing super well, Fuel by Ramen had signed them.
Yeah. Yeah, and so that kind of happened, and then very quickly we knew that it was going to be between Fuel by Ramen or Fearless. And I think the main thing for that was, first off, with Fearless, they were so excited about our band from the first month of us existing. And we went out there, and that was kind of our first experience ever being inside of a record label. So I think instantly we just had it in our heads that, like, this might be the thing to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then once Steel Bear Ramen came along, then our decisions got way more complicated, because while Fearless was a successful label, Steel Bear Ramen was, you know, the hottest thing at the moment.
Yeah.
The, you know, between Fall Boy and Paramore and Panic at the Disco and Cues That We Aim For and on and on and on. So many bands that were so big, and that we all were, you know, were into.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very, very difficult, and then it got even more complicated, because during this time, Shant, who is the singer of Cues That We Aim For, We kind of became friends with him, because he was friends with Tim, our manager, and he heard our songs, and he put one of our songs on his MySpace profile, and that was a big deal and kind of helped us out. And he was saying that he was going to start a little side record label at Steel Bear Ramen, and that he wanted us to be the first band that he would sign.
Yeah.
So it felt like, oh man, like we would get all the benefits of being on Steel Bear Ramen, and he was kind of, you know, saying that he would, you know, take us on tour, and he would put our merch designs on their MySpace and tell people to buy them and all kinds of things. And so we were like, I think instantly when we started hearing that, we were like, oh, that's the move.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. For sure.
And it just felt like, oh, like that's how, like we'd be so dumb to say no to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, I remember being like pretty sure that was the right move. Like, hey, like not only is it like a massive you know, independent label, but that's pretty much like a major kind of. But one of the biggest, one of their bigger bands at the time was like gonna take them, take us under their wing and be like, here you go, here's this big tour. I mean, they were fucking huge at that point.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I remember we went, when we went to go, we went to California for Warped Tour to like pass out CDs, and they were playing, and the crowd was like fucking massive and singing every word. And then I think that was when we, the first time we met him was after that show. And that's when it started to be like, so what do you guys do? Blah, blah, blah. And yeah, it really got the kind of gears moving of like, oh shit, we're going to have to make a really difficult decision here soon.
Yeah. And it also, you know, keep in mind at this point, we had probably only ever played like maybe 10 like actual shows.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. So like the idea of like him like kind of saying like, oh, 100% bring your band on tour, and it was like mind blowing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then we went on our own little tour in the summer. Our first tour with Brighton and the Morning Light, and we still hadn't kind of decided yet. And
well, and we, just we to were, also to mention, we had just lost our guitar player songwriter.
Yeah,
which threw a wrench in it as well.
Yeah, so we went on tour. And we were kind of getting some pressure from Fearless, because at that point, you know, it had probably been 4 months from when they sent like the initial
deal, yeah,
you know, for us to sign. And we just kind of kept saying, you know, we're thinking about it. And so we went on the tour and had a bunch of fun, and then when we came home from the tour, we went and met with them both each one more time. We mm-hmm. went and met with John Janik, the president and founder of Fearless Ramen, and then we went to Warped Tour in California and hung out with Bob, the owner of Fearless. And you know, there was just something. There was something about when we met with Bob that felt, I don't know, I guess when we met with John Janik and met with Ramen, it was at the Atlantic Records office, which was, you know, a major label, and it was a huge building, and you know, it felt a little less like a personal thing than when with Bob. It was like we were hanging out with him, like in his like
RV,
yeah, like his RV that he had like out at the back of Warped Tour. And one of the biggest things that he said that day when we met with him is, you know, he said that you guys are the only band that we're going to sign in the year 2008.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh god, like that means that like all the focus will be on us.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I think, one of the biggest things that took it over the edge for us.
Yeah. And also, he was like, not that he was hard on us, but like there was like things that I remember him being like saying things that he knew we needed to like work on and stuff, which is like
mm-hmm.
is cool. It's, you know, it's,
yeah,
you know, just being told that, like,
very honest,
yeah, you guys are awesome, you're doing everything right, like blah blah blah, like outwardly saying something yeah, honest, and be like, I know that we can do more for you guys. It was like, okay, it's not bullshit, like why would you say that, you know?
Yeah.
And that sticks out to me too, of just being like, okay, like yeah, not we'll be the only band that is being focused on that year, but also like, yeah, like just being real. It felt nice.
Yeah. And, you know, so it was, you know, even after that, we were pretty sure which way we, you know, we wanted to go. But I would say, you know, every day we just went back and forth and back and forth.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about the pros and the cons. And, you know, definitely on paper, I think anybody at the time would have said, go to Feel Bad Ramen. The bands they have are way bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, there was just something that just like took us in the other direction.
Yeah. And well, do you remember do you remember the day?
Yeah.
So it came to the point when Fearless said, we're going to pull the deal on this day. And Fuel by Ramen hadn't really sent a full contract yet, but they said like the ideas of it. And I remember you, me, and John and Tim were all at your house, and I'm sure Kenny was there. And it was like the decision day, and it was like, you guys have an hour to figure this out. Like, you're either going to sign with you're either gonna sign Fearless or we're pulling the deal. And that was fucking crazy. That was the craziest day. I don't know if you want to talk about that a little more.
Yeah, I mean, we were like going so in depth with it. Like, we were on the phone with our attorneys talking about the points of the deal. We were we had a giant piece of paper that we were writing out the pros and the cons, and like a list on each end of the paper of each one of the record labels. And you know, and then we just kind of, I think the bigger thing too was, you know, Feel Bad Ramen had a very strong brand, and once you were part of that, you were a Feel Bad Ramen band. And with Fearless, it felt a little bit more like each band kind of just did their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was something that we were attracted to, feeling like it was our own identity.
Being able to build your own thing and having, you know, the head of the label be so super excited about your thing, and like you be able to shape yourself instead of being, you know, grouped in like, we're now the tiny cute is what we aim for, you know, where that would have been on Fuel by Ramen. And on Fearless, it was 100%. We're the main and we're doing our own thing. And, if you know, I think that was like the selling, because if I remember right, there wasn't much on, you know, the Fuel by Ramen side besides like be able to get tours with these bands, you know, a family feel or whatever. And then there's just that thing on the Fearless side of like being your own thing. And I think once we actually wrote it down and were able to look at it, it was like kind of quickly became a no-brainer.
Yeah. And you know, it was one of those things where we, even at the time, you know, it's our first time having any interest from any record label or anything, but even then we took our time with it, and we didn't just like jump on the first opportunity we had, you know. And like we're saying, it really came down to them saying like, all right guys, it's been over a half a year since we sent this to you. Like, you have to decide, or it's done, because then we're gonna go, you know, we're gonna go sign some other bands. So yeah, we decided to do that. And you know, it's certainly one of those things where it's fun to play out in your mind what it would have been like if we signed a Feel Bad Ramen as opposed to Fearless. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously we'll never know, but very happy with how things went. You know, and especially within the first year of us you know, being on Fearless, they proved how much they were dedicated to our band.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. I mean, and they, like, above and beyond, like, you know, there was moves that Bob ended up making, the head of Fearless, that, you know, weren't even in our deal. Like, he was like, I know this is a great idea, so I'm investing even more. And it was just like, yeah, I mean, it was really special. And Bob's the man.
Yeah. Oh, he's awesome. Yeah. Super thankful for that part of our band. It was a really good experience, you know.
Yeah, I mean, and totally let us be what we were always gonna. The reason that we are shaped the way we are is it really started there, and you know, figuring out our own path was super important, and you know, Fearless let us do that.
Yeah. And yeah, I think it's something where we were able to, when we made the first record, when we made Can't Set Won't Stop, you know, no one from the label stepped foot in the studio until the album was pretty much done.
Yeah. Totally.
You know, they just totally left us alone. They didn't come and say that they needed to hear the right songs, and you know, and I think, like, thankfully, you know, the thing we had going for us is that our momentum at that time was just picking up, and the EP that, the Way We Talk EP was just continuing to sell, and so they had the trust in us to let us just do what we thought was best. Because, you know, I think if a record label had gone in there and heard songs like "We'll Be" and "This Is the End," and, you know, some of the more oddball songs on that record, you know, I think maybe they wouldn't have been interested.
Yeah, totally.
And would have wanted us to let's have some more songs that girls do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
So we were very lucky, because I feel like, because of "We'll All Be" and because of "This Is the End" and "I Must Be Dreaming," you know, that's why then we made "Black and White."
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, didn't
just continue down the path of making fast kind of pop punkish songs.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, those songs made us be able to do different things. And just going back to, you know, Bob's good ear, we wanted to put "I Must Be Dreaming" out first as of the first single, and he was like, "No, it's everything I asked for." And, like, in our heads, that was like a middle of the record track, and "Time to Go" was going to be the intro for the first track, and he was like, "No, this is the one." And it's like, he pushed us to put it at the front of the record too, and I think that was a great idea, looking back. And I mean,
yeah,
as soon as he pointed it out, it was like, yeah, well, cool. For sure,
that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, because that song seemed weird, you know.
Oh yeah,
it seemed like a left to center song, and so the fact that he could see it as like a good pop single, I that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I feel like all things during that time just kind of worked out exactly as we needed them to. So
yeah, totally.
It was an exciting time, and, you know, feels weird that then we only ended up putting out a single record on Fearless, because they were such a big part in our band and the growth and the success. But you know, I'm still super thankful for the opportunity that we got because of it.
For sure. Shout out to Fearless.
Yeah. That was our hard decision.
Yeah.
And one of I think it does go down as one of the hardest ever, but I think in the end we made the right call.
Yeah. And I think, you know, looking back, I think if us individually had made, you know, we're going to make that decision, I mean, I bet all of us would have made a different one, you know. It was really just using talking as a group and putting actual thought into it, I think changed everything in a great way where, yeah. You know,
and
I think it could have been easy to make the what's the right word? What's flashy and cool in the moment move instead of just being like, there's a different path and we can do that.
Yeah, and the tricky thing was is that there wasn't a right decision.
Yeah.
Because they were both options were good. You know?
Yeah.
So, which is making that makes making a decision super difficult. And that's kind of the thing that we get into a lot. You know, the other things that are hard decisions, I guess, for us now is like which song to put out first from a record and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that ends up being like, should it be Bad Behavior or Black Butterflies? Like, well, they're both good songs, so that's why it's so hard, because there isn't a bad decision.
Totally.
It's definitely been complicated, and you know, just like pretty much anything in life, you know, being in a band is filled with tons of things that you just have to make a decision on, and then you just don't look back at it.
Yeah, you gotta live with it.
Because there's nothing you can do now. Well, thank you all for listening.
Thank you.
With another podcast soon. We've been recording the past bit here, so we have not had a new episode out, but that will change. So thank you all, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.